Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to hit the subscribe button on YouTube and then the notify bell next to it if and only if you want your daily Going In Raw notifications, because we upload this show every day.
Every day.
Sometimes.
Twice a day.
Two times a day. We're also available, like I said, wherever fine podcasts are, including now on CastBox. We have a partnership with CastBox. It's awesome. It's a great app.
Yeah.
Very clean. Check it out.
Yes.
Sub to Going In Raw. I got to start answering some of those comments.
Same.
Thanks, Brendo.
Thanks, Brendo.
Exactly. We are also on... there was a little bit of difficulty getting back on Google Play and Spotify. Those are now fixed. I have links for both of them if you go to our Twitter account, at Real Going In Raw.
Or just go to the respective apps, search Going In Raw. It'll show up.
And so I don't know if it's still doing the thing where there's like two podcasts. I don't know.
I don't know.
So search for one. I mean, they're both Going In Raw, obviously. But there is, I think, an entry for the old one, and then there's an entry for the updated one.
The new one, the updated one's just Going In Raw. That's the title, is just Going In
Raw. Okay, okay. And there's like a little CastBox logo in the, in the corner.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to listen to it on Spotify or Google Play or pretty much anywhere else, I know somebody said something about iHeartRadio, so we got to look into that now. Things should be kind of back to normal, I think.
Yeah.
My voice is not back to normal
yet. No, it's going to take some time.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit of time and a lot of fluids, Larson.
Yes.
Lots of fluids.
Yes, fluids.
Anyways, we're also on the Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/Steven Larson. It's a great way to support Going In Raw. So here's the thing.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about this.
We are now, I mean, we're going to do a private video for the $5 and up patrons anyways.
Yeah, but we got to explain why. As they may watch the WrestleMania stream yesterday, they will see that our streaming capabilities are not what they were at home office.
Right.
Here at new office right now.
It's a temporary thing.
I believe they're installing our internet right now.
They're literally, there's all sorts of construction happening. Like, I got here and I was like, ooh, road to construction is just around the corner.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we're banging on the walls and stuff and installing all sorts of wires and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that's for us. I'm pretty sure the construction is happening right now. So this should be a very temporary thing. But that means that our live streaming capabilities are going to be basically nothing. Until we have internet, which should be shortly. It should be soon.
Yes, but one of the Patreon perks, $5 and up, is they get to watch live streams of our recap shows, Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT. Since we can't really stream, we can't do that, but we will be offering content
in instead.
In the form of, like, I don't know, like, essentially, we'll take what we used to do on the pre and post shows.
Yeah.
We'll solicit questions through social media or something like that, or just do something. If we have a crazy idea, we'll do it. Do it. Put it up there for the patrons so they can enjoy that.
Well, this is what I'm thinking.
Exclusively.
I have an idea for a video series we can do in lieu of the pre and post show. At least maybe one.
It's construction.
The road to construction is happening. You guys can't complain about those noises because it's only going to make us what?
More but better.
More but better. So I have an idea for a $5 and up patron exclusive show until we get recaps back, or until we get pre and post show back. Letters from Sweet F, or letters from Sweet Friendo. We put on the Patreon for the $5 and ups. What non-wrestling questions do you have? Because our pre and post show
is largely non-wrestling.
What
stuff
do you want to see us yell at each other over?
Usually it's food.
And so we can solicit all those questions.
Is lentil pasta real pasta?
There you go. I don't know. Probably. I haven't really looked at your lentil pasta. I have to. I'm a visual guy. I need to look at it.
Oh, it looks like just regular pasta.
If it looks like pasta,
yeah,
then yeah, it's
I had
pasta.
I had
sure.
Penne lentil pasta for lunch. It was delicious.
Yeah, okay, but it's qualified by lentil pasta.
Well, just because it's made out of lentils.
So if
and
like
not wheat.
Devin, if Devin comes over and says, "What are we having for dinner?" and I said pasta, in his head, see, we have to go mind of Devin. In his head, it's just, you know, noodles or...
It's wheat pasta.
It's... I don't even do wheat pasta anymore.
Pasta. Yeah, that's made of wheat still. It's not whole wheat, but still made of wheat.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you meant whole wheat. No. And then red sauce.
Yeah.
That is, I think, like default pasta.
Yeah, I understand that.
Right.
Sort of like when you make the argument that taco salad is not salad, because when someone says salad, the default is a pile of greens with dressing on
right.
it.
Right. So default is yeah.
And I understand that point. Prime. I'm not saying, but my whole point was just because that's what people have in their mind as being like prime salad doesn't exclude every other type of salad from being salad. Just well, those other types of salads
yeah,
have a qualifier.
Here's the thing. You can't call lentils, what do you call it, lentil pasta? You yeah. can't just call it pasta.
No, and I wouldn't do that.
Exactly.
Same reason I wouldn't call taco
so it's
salad
not
just
actually
a salad.
Pasta. It's lentil. Anyways, we're here to talk about NXT TakeOver. The big pro wrestling tea sale is over.
Yeah.
It's over at the last minute. 9:59 Pacific time.
I thought you said it was like 4 minutes.
No, one. I literally have the receipt. It says 9:59.
Oh, that's when your order was complete.
Yeah. I got my four shirts. I got two of our shirts, the new logo shirt, plus the I Find It Funny shirt.
Yeah.
And then I got Cody Rhodes' American Nightmare, the new one.
The That's new Bullet great. Club logo. Yeah. It's not new Bullet Club logo.
Right. And then I got a really cheesy Naito shirt. It's great. So thank you to everybody.
Yes.
It was a windfall. It's probably going to pay for our all-in trip.
Yeah, it could.
The
Or office supplies. Or, we need a lot of those.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we do need like a fridge.
We need some storage.
Yeah.
Anyways. Thank you very much. That's the point.
Yeah, thank you very much. And the shirts are still available. It's just they're not 20% off right now.
Mm-hmm.
They do sales throughout the year, though. So, hey, if you want to wait to buy one until there's a sale on, we'll let you
by
know
all means,
when there's
yeah.
a sale.
Yeah.
So, moving on. Let's talk about NXT.
Yeah, that's what we're ultimately here to do.
Man, I know. People are going to be like 6 minutes, 30 seconds before they talk about NXT.
6 minutes talking about lentil pasta.
6 minutes,
Why do
30
I listen
seconds.
To these idiots?
NXT. TakeOver New Orleans. Was this the best TakeOver
yeah, probably.
Ever? This might be the best TakeOver ever.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've actually seen all the TakeOvers.
I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen all of them since the one where Kevin Owens turned on Sami Zayn. I've seen some prior to that.
Yeah.
And I think top to bottom, this is the most stacked card. We said that going in.
Yeah.
And every
yeah.
match delivered.
And here's the thing. The build to this was actually pretty decent. And 9 times out of 10, the build is not great.
Yeah.
Even though NXT is still vastly entertaining.
It's because the in-ring product is so good.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about take. Would you stop with your shoulder?
My shoulder hurts.
You just want to talk about the shoulder?
No, it just hurts. Oh, it's like I'm trying to find a comfortable position for it. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make it a distraction.
It is. Totally.
I'm sorry.
But hey, you know what? Somebody counted the number of times I coughed during the WrestleMania recap.
Oh, it was a lot.
86.
Really?
Well, I don't know if they actually counted, but that was a number somebody proffered.
That seems like a lot. I don't think it was 86.
I coughed a lot.
That's like 1.5. Per minute.
Every time I breathed in, I took a breath, I needed a cough. It was horrible.
I've been there before.
But that's WrestleMania live stream.
So I can do this at least 70 more times.
Yeah, you're good. I'll shut up about your shoulder.
I mean, it's not loud. It's not making any noise. So people who are enjoying the show, as long as they don't mind me doing this motion repeatedly to hopefully loosen up my shoulder.
All right. I'll keep it quiet about your shoulder.
Thank you.
Anyways, let's talk about this ladder match. See that? That's what bugs
Sorry,
me.
It hurts.
You're letting it distract you.
And it wasn't that bothersome yesterday, but today it hurts. Makes me sit in a chair all day. Anyways, yes. So NXT TakeOver New Orleans kicked off with a North American title ladder match to crown the very first NXT North American champion.
Correct.
Participants, in case you need a refresher, EC3, Killian Dane, Adam Cole Bebe, Velveteen Dream, Lars Sullivan, and Ricochet.
Debuting Ricochet.
Oh, man, Ricochet's entrance was great.
Oh, it was fantastic.
His lasers coming down.
Yeah, lasers.
And he stood there under the lasers and did his pose.
Oh, it was fantastic. He came in and
man.
Did the superhero thing.
Oh, man.
It was fantastic. It was. I got chills just watching the intro. So I was here in the office setting some stuff up, and I was about to go home, and I was like, well, you know what? Alabama's probably still asleep. Lacey's there. She's probably painting the office. That office is completely Alabama's room at this point. And so I just took the little lawn chair over there, plopped it down, sat down, mm-hmm. and I watched and I was just geeking out the entire time. I said this going into the ladder match in the last NXT recap episode, the level of talent that's now in NXT is ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. It is so thick. It is so stacked. We can just go through this. And this was so. There was a bit of storytelling here, but it was largely just a showcase for the varying levels of talent or the various levels of talent.
The
various styles of talent.
There's some storytelling. Part of it was set up in the Go Home show where Ricochet was in the ring with competitors who were largely much larger than him.
Yeah.
Save for Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Adam Cole's still taller, I think. And so that was, and the commentary talked about it some, is that was an obstacle he had overcome in his efforts to get that title off the contraption they used to hang it above the ring.
Yeah.
Very quickly, though, Ricochet made a huge impression.
Yeah.
Within like a minute of the match, yeah. He climbs up the top rope to the shooting star press onto Lars Sullivan and Killian Dane on the outside. Crowd goes crazy.
That's a springboard when you come off the window.
Well, he had a springboard. He walked up the rope and then jumped off.
Yeah, right. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And yeah, immediately you're like, okay, you got to pay attention to this Ricochet guy. Yeah. If you didn't know who he was.
Exactly.
The one thing, like, I love this match and that it really allowed him to highlight his aerial abilities.
Yeah.
Which are second to none.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he is the one and only.
Yeah.
But also his ability to sell, because he took a lot of sick bumps.
Yeah, he did. That was one of the things about this match that I you know, I'm not a God guy, but I was praying during this match that nobody's getting, especially the bit where Velveteen Dream was walking on the ladder.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, and he did the Death Valley Driver on the ladder.
Yeah.
That looks so dangerous because one slip of the foot and that entire, that who knows what's going to happen.
It's a house of cards.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I wish they had allowed Ricochet to do is he's like ridiculously strong.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We've seen him do similar to Seth Rollins where he does a deadlift Falcon's Arrow after a suplex. He does a similar thing but with a Northern Light suplex. And to see him do that against larger opponents is something else.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll see that at some point.
Yeah, sure, sure.
During
sure.
his NXT tenure.
Yeah.
Just being a Ricochet fan and being kind of familiar with his work, that is one aspect of his in-ring ability I wish they had highlighted. Nonetheless, small quibble.
Yeah. Well, they had sort of used him. You're right. We're going to get to that. But he was also used at one point as sort of a rag doll by the two monsters in the match, Lars Sullivan and Killian Dane.
Yeah, they had like a beeling contest
right,
with Ricochet,
exactly,
essentially.
Yeah. Egged on by the crowd, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were chanting, throw him back, after Lars threw Ricochet towards Killian Dane.
So so in terms of the stories being told in this match, they did sort of echo the package they put together where each person sort of talked about what they were going to do. Like specifically in the case of Lars Sullivan, he said, you know, these aren't my opponents, they're my victims. And he made a point of trying to victimize everybody in this match. At one point, he was going apeshit with a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was throwing it at people.
He threw it at everybody.
He was ramming it into everybody. He had, like, his head in the thing, and he was just, like, destroying everybody with the ladder.
Yeah, yeah. And also, this match also continued the Lars-Killian Dane feud that, you know, kind of started going all the way back to that four-way match they had that Gargano won eventually.
Yeah.
When he earned his title shot against Almas. And we kind of both knew their match last week was not going to have a winner.
Yeah.
And we both kind of thought, okay, well, this match is going to further facilitate their feud, took them out of contention as possibly winning the match.
Right.
And that's what played out, essentially. There was a couple of spots. We mentioned the one with Ricochet where they were throwing Ricochet back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
There's other spots where they were, like the start of this match, everybody else, like EC3 rolled out of the ring. Everybody else was kind of taken out of the equation. So it was just Lars and Killian facing off for a short little bit before action continued with everybody.
Yeah.
So that was definitely one storyline focus of the match. Early on, we had an alliance seemingly forged between Adam Cole and EC3.
Our friend, the undead commissioner, Ulysses, said it I think it was him who tweeted this out. He said, EC3 was in this match just to get killed because he just got murdered at every
avenue.
He would
get like three
murdered.
Moves off, and then he would get annihilated.
Exactly. That bit where Killian Dane came down, I think it was with Adam Cole.
Yeah, the Vader bomb spot.
Yeah, exactly. On the ladder, which was on top of EC3,
mm-hmm.
was fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing what EC3's character brings to NXT. It seems like a bit of a...
It seems kind of like Bob Roode.
We had mentioned before, it's like Bob Roode, but fun.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's going to be like, you know, a scallywag. He's going to be a mischief maker.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, I think he can, that's his character. That's what the way he was back before when he was in NXT.
Yeah.
And of course, obviously his run in TNA was the same. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does in NXT.
Yeah. So I mentioned that brief alliance between Adam Cole and EC3 that continued until EC3 kind of mocked Adam Cole.
Yeah.
He did Adam Cole's pose.
Yeah.
Adam Cole didn't like it. Dumped EC3 off a ladder.
EC3 has the best shitty face.
Yeah, man.
You know, he's just being shitty.
Yeah, he is.
And it's great. It's fantastic.
And then Adam Cole starts super kicking everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's laid out. And everybody gets a Purple Rainmaker.
Okay, so let's talk about Velveteen Dream really quick.
Get great tights once again.
Yeah, all of his opponents on it, on his tights. So the thing about Velveteen Dream that's so great that I really appreciate and kind of noticed last night. So you've got guys like Adam Cole, who obviously made a huge name for himself on the independent scene prior to this in New Japan and Ring of Honor. You have, Ricochet, same exact thing.
Well, Killian Dane
in the United Kingdom.
EC3 made a huge name for himself in Impact TNA.
Exactly. I don't really know a whole lot about Lars Sullivan.
I think he's mostly in-house.
Right.
I think him and Velveteen Dream are both more or less purely developmental.
I think they are. But the thing about Velveteen Dream is that it's not just that he's so good, because he is. And Triple H, I mentioned this earlier too, Triple H said in his latest NXT conference call, press call or whatever, that he pointed him out as a guy who has developed probably more than anybody in such a short amount of time. The NXT universe has embraced him. I mean, Lars is a freaking heel. Velveteen Dream exists on his own level. He's definitely a tweener.
I don't think he's a tweener. I think he just kind of rises above the whole heel face spectrum.
Okay, there you go.
He just exists above the typical binary choice that creative seems to make about whether someone's a hero or villain.
So people embrace that because it's not. It gives you the appearance that management doesn't have one thing that they want to do with you. It's just you're above all that. You exist on your own, right?
Yeah.
But number two, there is the aspect of nobody really knew Patrick Clark before he was, I mean, locally in Maryland or wherever they were.
Yeah.
You know, people knew him. But when he came over to NXT, like you said, he's been a purely developmental guy. He's come up. He's found his gimmick after trying a couple of them on the house show circuit. Mm-hmm. And so this Velveteen Dream thing is so NXT original that I think that makes people embrace it a bit more. Because it's like, I might not have been on the Adam Cole bandwagon before. I mean, you and I both were, kind of. But other people, I didn't know much about this guy before he came in, but he has a whole history and I know that. But this guy, he's been here. He's been developed and he's so much more interesting than so many of the other names that have come through here.
Yeah.
And I think that's one kind of thing. He's kind of a hometown guy for NXT and it's kind of rare these days.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's one reason why people are paying attention to him. Beyond the fact that, my God, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's really good.
His athleticism, his character work is so great these days. Everything about him is so great.
Yeah.
Like, it's pro wrestling at its absolute best.
Yes. He gives everybody a Purple Rainmaker, then brings a ladder into the ring, scales it.
Oh, God.
And from the top.
From the top. Standing on the top of the ladder.
Purple Rainmaker to Lars Sullivan.
Oh, man.
Oof.
Lars, by the way, still he's coming off that knee injury, and so he was wearing a knee brace, and that was the only thing that, and then a couple of the big spots, like with the Velveteen Dream doing the Death Valley Driver on the ladder, but when Ricochet towards the end
essentially tackled Lars Sullivan off a ladder.
I wonder if he was supposed to like just backpack him, basically.
Oh, I don't
like
know.
Hold on
That's
to him.
That's tough to do.
Because it was no, it is, but he was, it seemed. Kind of like a messy spot.
Yeah, it did.
And Ricochet is not the kind of guy who you associate with messy spots
not
at
typically,
all.
No.
And so I kind of figured that it was supposed to be one clean motion. He grabs onto him as Lars, because I think that would have been a cool spot that maybe they wanted to do.
Yeah.
Instead, Lars Sullivan came down and he landed on
well,
both
kind of tumbled
feet.
Into yeah, some ladders tumbled. Too. Yeah.
And he's a big guy, and they emphasize that at the beginning. You know, big men don't typically fare well
in ladder matches. There's a couple other cool spots. EC3 hit a TKO off the ladder on Adam Cole. Adam Cole is probably the MVP of this whole
of Takeover.
Takeover, man.
Because it was announced beforehand during the pre-show with the Charlie Caruso, Sam Robertson, Pat McAfee, who used to be a punter in the NFL. He's got like a million followers on Twitter. I think he's with Barstool Sports.
Oh, okay.
I think he has a thing with them.
All right.
And he was entertaining. He looked like he was having a really good time. There were some moments during the pre-show, like when Candice LeRae joined the panel and it was supposed to be kind of a dramatic bit with her, he called her like Mrs. Wrestling at one point, which is fine. I mean, that's what the crowd calls her. But it felt like the moment needed a little bit more weight. And it's like he couldn't really help himself from clowning around a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But by and large, I thought he was really, really good and it'd be fun to see him there again. But yeah, he was the one who got to break the news to Adam Cole that the North American ladder match would be first. And so you get to see Adam Cole's reaction. And, you know, obviously it wasn't a happy one. He's like, I have to defend the tag title after I go through a ladder match? Are you kidding me? So, that's so funny. Yeah, he was definitely the MVP.
You mentioned the Vader bomb spot, which was great.
Yeah.
And there was this point where Lars Sullivan caught Killian Dane in the middle of a fun splash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Commentary team made a point of saying, no one's done that before. No one's caught the fun splash.
they said fun splash. Yeah.
Look, if we ever watch fun wrestling.
If we ever put that H title on the line and we end up managing a Haas down the line, he has to do the fun splash. That's sort of a prereq. You're a Haas, you got to do the fun splash.
Yeah, you got to do fun splash. Braun did it at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. There's this great spot where Lars ricochets on the ladder. Lars picked it up to tip it over. And rather than just take that spill off the ladder, Ricochet does a moonsault off it, hits Adam Cole and Killian Dane on the outside.
That was insane. That was absolutely insane because it was so like there was hardly any like drama to it. It was just shock because like he starts to move it up and without like any warning, he just leaps.
He does this. Ricochet does this. Then goes.
Yeah.
Brief look over his shoulder.
Just
kind of measure how far he has to go.
And just screw it. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it was outstanding.
And the crowd was just eating it up.
Oh, yeah.
And it was interesting because like the rest of the card was kind of on the rest of the card was fantastic. But it took a little while for the crowd to get back into it because of this. So, like, the next match, the women's title match.
Was really good.
Was really, really good, and the crowd would have been eating it up, but they were so exhausted already, and that was obvious.
Because Ricochet wasn't done yet, and then he hit a shooting star press onto EC3 while EC3 was on top of a ladder.
Right.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Ricochet's best. You mentioned the Velveteen Dream Death Valley driver spot.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, the ladder was bridged between the ring turnbuckle and another ladder, so Ricochet ate. Death Valley driver.
I mean, I want a series between Velveteen Dream and Ricochet, like a whole series, like three takeovers worth.
Oh, I know. I think we might get amazing? That. And then there's a couple ladders set up, one end on the apron, the other end on the announce table. And Lars had laid out Velveteen Dream across the ladder. And then he takes EC3, freak accident, through Velveteen Dream, through the ladder on the other side. There's the other ladder, Killian Dane hits a Michinoku driver on Adam Cole while Ricochet is laying on the ladder.
Yeah.
Sends both them through it.
Yeah.
Crazy spots. Later on, Lars hits a freak accident on Killian Dane off the ladder.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
That was awesome.
And then Ricochet does the leap out of nowhere and tackles Lars off the ladder. In the end, though, Ricochet scaling the ladder. Seems like he's going to get that title. Mm-hmm. Adam Cole dumps him off.
Yep.
Ricochet takes a nasty bump to the outside. Adam Cole scales that ladder, pulls that belt off. North American champ, baby.
Yeah. Oh, it was fantastic. And, of course, that played later on into the tag team match.
Yes, because he came out with the rib tape.
Yes, he did.
But no tweet from Chuck Taylor. I didn't take
so no tweet about that?
No.
Okay,
he hasn't watched it yet.
What a bummer.
I'm sure Chuck's a busy man.
Yep.
Next, for the NXT Women's title, Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler. Really good match.
This is it was a very simple match, very effective storytelling. Shayna Baszler
I'm really bummed out they're not going, at least yet, with the idea I had about having Shayna go against Ronda Rousey, because I think it'd be spectacular.
Oh, I think it'd be, especially after the performance Ronda put in.
I know.
The great thing is everybody is applauding that. Everybody's getting into it. And Dana White tweeted out, he says, I'm so proud of her. She looks like she's having a blast. Mm-hmm. I like that. There's a lot of love for her, and she deserves it.
Yep. Maybe we'll get that story somewhere down the line after Shayna has a quality NXT women's title reign.
It's not going to happen. It's totally not going to happen. But there's no reason they couldn't bring Shayna out on Mondays and have her be the NXT champion who's doing that to Ronda.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
And it would give a huge spotlight on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'd be really smart for them to do that. You know, they're probably not going to, but...
Yeah. Ember Moon came out on the offense super early. She wanted to take an early advantage, gain the upper hand, and try to score a quick victory over Shayna Baszler, but she couldn't do it. At one point, Shayna sets up Ember for the arm stomp.
Yeah.
Ember evades it, turns the tables, and then stomps Shayna's arm.
Yeah. Was that the moment where her shoulder popped out? Okay.
Yeah, because then she went to the ring post and started slamming her shoulder into the ring post.
The character work, and I loved commentary was selling it beautifully, when Shayna was in the position and her face of like being terrified and angry
yeah
was so wonderfully done mm-hmm. and performed
mm-hmm.
and commentary sold it great. They said, we've never seen her in this position. We've never seen this emotion from her. And then she got it and her, you know, her shoulder storyline popped out of its socket. And then she gets out and she, well, there's a little bit more going on. Like she stomps, I think, Ember in the corner or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's kind of wrestling with one arm.
Right. She's holding it like this.
And she has a moment where she has Ember down. And yeah, she goes to the ring post and slams her shoulder into the ring post twice.
Which was a fantastic moment that was kind of lost on the crowd, who was kind of like that kind of disappointed. I was like, oh, that was a great moment.
Mm-hmm.
But that crowd was so spent
mm-hmm.
that they didn't feel it, I think, as much as they could have
yeah.
or should have.
Yeah. Shortly after that, though, Ember Moon hit the Eclipse while Shayna Baszler was on the outside.
She came down off the top onto the outside. And hit that Eclipse. That was insane.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Back in the ring, Shayna Baszler goes for a choke. Ember reverses. Shayna goes for a triangle. Ember reverses into a powerbomb.
Yeah.
That was great. She pretty much deadlifted her. In the end, though, Ember goes for the Eclipse. Shayna reverses it into her chokehold. And they really, it was kind of reminiscent of HBK Angle at WrestleMania a few years back, where Ember was struggling.
Yeah.
Doing everything she could to, she got her foot on the rope just barely once, and then she couldn't do it again. Shayna rolled her over to the middle of the ring, and eventually Ember just passed out.
So you mentioned it during the Mania recap last night, but that finish I thought was more akin to what they should have done with Charlotte Asuka.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
Or at least more struggle from Charlotte Asuka.
Yeah.
After that, we had a Fighting With My Family teaser. Which I'm not even sure is going to be in the movie. It seemed like just something they shot to tease the movie.
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
it could be.
I'll put it this way. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if the entire movie was like that.
Where it was the story as seen, through the Rock's eyes.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Oh, I mean, in terms of tone.
No, in terms of tone. Like, I'll ask this. What makes you think that was a scene that was shot just as a teaser?
Because the scene was entirely about the Rock. And it's a movie about Paige.
Yeah, but it's his cameo. I could see that.
Well, I didn't know it was his cameo. I mean, I'm sure they'll take some creative liberties with the story. But at the same time,
Are you kidding? This entire thing is being creative liberties.
Probably.
You're gonna have Brad Maddox in this thing? No.
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 But I mean, it definitely felt like, okay, we're gonna shoot this little teaser thing that won't be in the movie, just so we can run this potentially on TV. People, even though they're running it during wrestling shows, people who might not be familiar with the wrestling product.
Do you think The Rock isn't gonna be in this thing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I think he's going to
be.
Could be. I think we actually read before that he's going to be playing himself in it. And this might be.
I wouldn't expect him to play anybody else.
Right.
He's going to be his character from Fast and Furious.
My point. Yes, that would be dope. My point is, I'm trying to think of other goofy Rock characters he could be. My point is.
What was the character's name in Southland Tales?
Exactly. Yeah. Pimps don't commit suicide. My point is, we didn't hear that he was going to have a role in a teaser. We heard he was going to have.
No, I understand that. I'm not saying he's not going to be in the movie, but it just felt like one of those things where, all right, we're going to shoot this thing with The Rock, who everybody knows, to help introduce a movie about Paige, a wrestler that not everybody's going to know in a mainstream sense. But granted, so far, this stuff has just been playing on WWE products, so everybody's going to know who Paige is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It feels like, I don't know. It just felt like a thing that was shot self-contained to use to promote the film because
it felt like a Snickers ad.
Yeah, it did.
Or a Snickers
it
ad.
Did.
No, I feel you on it. I kind of think that it's probably going to be in the movie because it's a good little bit. Here's my thing. When I saw it, I was like, oh, that's a good little bit. But the problem is over WrestleMania, like the course of like WrestleMania, we saw this thing 15 more times. And at a certain point, it just got to be too much.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind an actual trailer because they've shot the whole movie already.
Yeah, I know.
Like they could have had time to have a trailer. It looks like it's going to be cool. I mean, look, like I said, it's going to be all creative license.
Oh, yes.
But it'll be entertaining.
I thought it might be the whole movie might be from the point of view of The Rock.
That would be hilarious. That would be awesome. And then he like fights a giant wolf or whatever.
Like they literally start the movie with him in his hotel room middle of the night watching this documentary.
That's good.
And he thinks to himself, I want to make a movie about this.
Oh, man. It gets super meta then.
Yeah, man.
I like it.
And he starts inserting himself in all these scenes.
Right,
where
that
he
never
would have been.
That never happened, yeah.
Anyways, next we got Adam Cole being.
Like, why would The Rock be there, anyways? Like, hey, Rock. So, can we get some advice?
Oh, I know.
That
never would have happened. Next, Adam Cole getting tended to by the training staff backstage after his ladder match.
This was one of my favorite. Kyle O'Reilly is my favorite person in all of wrestling.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Is he going in Raw Wrestler of the Year?
He's a contender, I'll tell you
he's
what.
He's got to be, right?
Just based on he's evolved the Flair flop into something new and magical.
Yeah, this is great. So Adam Cole is being tended to by a physician, by the trainer, medical guy, whatever. And Adam Cole starts bitching about the tag team match. And he's like, man, I don't know if I can do this. Kyle O'Reilly turns to the medical guy right before they cut away and says, can we cancel it? Why is he asking him?
Trainer doesn't have that authority.
He has zero authority for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Kyle O'Reilly is the best.
Oh, he's awesome. And we'll talk about that match now. Authors of Pain versus Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne versus Undisputed Era. Adam Cole comes out with rib tape.
Mm-hmm.
That's immediately the focus of Authors in Pain. They go after him, kick him in the gut a couple times, take him to the outside, powerbomb through the announce table.
Right,
he's done for the match.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's pretty much Kyle O'Reilly versus Authors of Pain versus Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne. There's this great spot, I think, where Roderick Strong eats a German suplex, mm-hmm. pops right back up as if to no-sell it, and then just tumbles out of the ring.
Oh, it's fantastic. Oh. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, I love it. He did that the last tag match too, something similar where he did that flop on the apron.
Eli Drake did something similar to that when we went to said, you think that's gonna, and then he just tumbled out. It was great. I love guys who embrace that kind of stuff.
Oh, heck yes. But tons of fun. A lot of good teamwork going on here, and it's kind of a bummer that we were not going to see this partnership between Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne continue, because they actually work really well together.
No, they do. They work really well together. However, I'm much more excited by the events that transpired.
Same.
So Pete Dunne hits his finish on Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly, yeah.
And right at the 2 3/4 mark on the pinfall, Roderick Strong comes in, stomps Pete Dunne on the head. Everybody starts freaking out. He falls to the ground,
hits End of Heartache on Pete Dunne.
Hits End of Heartache on Pete Dunne.
Kyle O'Reilly on top of Pete Dunne.
And then watches with glee as the ref counts 3. Undisputed Era wins. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, of course, have the best surprise shock looks on their faces.
Yeah, Roderick Strong goes with Adam Cole, takes the armband off him, puts on his own arm, and Adam Cole does the best smile.
Oh, it's the
He's
best.
He's so happy.
It's the best. Watching him, I would love to see Adam Cole on Christmas morning opening presents.
Oh, heck yes, man.
Because it's probably amazing.
Yeah.
It's just gleeful look after gleeful look. So it was fantastic. And then Roderick Strong picks them up, gives them their titles, raises all their hands, Undisputed Era, stands strong. One of those situations where I don't know if Roderick Strong, if this was scheduled for him.
Yeah, no.
Because of the Bobby Fish thing.
Yeah.
I love it, though. We called this ages ago.
Had mentioned it on our prediction show that could happen.
You mentioned that this could happen this time. We had both thought it could happen at the War Games match.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy they waited, though.
Me too. Oh, me too. Absolutely. Because in the meantime, in the interim, Roderick Strong has had some amazing stuff going on.
Yeah.
And so I am really, it's always so much fun when guys who have actual history together, an actual friendship and bond, get together and get to be on the same page as heels, mind
yes,
you.
Yes. Or they can maximize their fun.
Exactly. And then on Twitter, Pete Dunne tweeted out a picture of British Strong Style with like the little wondering emoji.
Yeah.
And then Trent Seven tweeted back with like a
okay
sign.
We got to mention, though, when Undisputed Era went to the top of the ramp, they were joined by Bobby Fish up there. And they all posed, and it was great because they all threw up the sign.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned
it. And
this.
Roderick Strong looked back and then tried to
do it.
Do it.
No, this goes behind. But yeah, he had to look back to see it exactly. He's like,
this. This. There we go.
This is the E. This right here.
There.
So great.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then, of course, Kyle O'Reilly did an epic guitar. Air guitar solo, belt guitar solo up there.
Great.
He always does that.
I'm so happy he doesn't have to be intense MMA guy.
Oh, I know.
He seems to be having so much more fun.
I know. I agree.
Like, you can still do intense MMA stuff in the ring, but otherwise, he's hilarious.
How dare you?
Oh, and commentary is really selling the fact that these guys were all friends or all knew each other. They all, you know, cut their teeth in the same place, Ring of Honor, of course. I was reading something with Adam Cole over the weekend where he's talking about teaming with Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. He said, obviously he's known Kyle O'Reilly for a long time. He used to be tag team partners.
Yeah.
Apparently he was a participant in Kyle O'Reilly's wedding.
Oh, man.
Apparently he used to ride together with Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
These guys all go way back.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
And it's great to see. Cause you get, there's some chemistry you can't
fabricate,
intangible.
You know? Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you have chemistry with somebody, you don't. And it's great when you see these three guys who are really familiar with each other.
If there was some like freaking Joe just sitting here that I didn't know, I'd be like, so, do you like wrestling?
I like wrestling.
Thanks, Joe.
Hooray, wrestling. So, yeah, it's great when you see these guys who've known each other for a long time have chemistry and that translates.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I think hopefully we see the same thing with British Strong Style if we do get a feud between these two.
Oh, please. Let's have that
least,
happen.
At least till the next takeover. Oh, come gosh. On. Just one good feud.
Another War Games match.
Yeah. Oh.
Undisputed Era versus British Strong Style versus I don't know who, somebody else.
What did Matt? Yeah, no, War Games would be fantastic. That'll be great. Now we mentioned the word war. Let's talk about this briefly. There's two things to mention. Number one, to piggyback on this, the next day at Access, of course, they were doing the whole Access tournaments thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming Undisputed Era went over, but Roderick Strong came out and him and Kyle O'Reilly were the guys. And
defending
Roderick
the
Strong
title, yeah.
Had the tag title on. I wonder for the next tapings, they're going to maybe officially hand him the tag team title. I actually thought it would have been cool for some way for them to do that at the conclusion of this match. Because Adam Cole has his title, Kyle O'Reilly has a tag title. If Roderick Strong pointed at the tag title and Adam Cole says, it's yours for doing that, that would have been kind of cool. Maybe we'll get that moment on the next TV.
Round of tapings. Yeah. They also announced today, I believe Monday, the next takeover will be Money in the Bank weekend in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
In June.
Oh, wow.
So maybe it'll be NXT TakeOver War Games 2 in Chicago.
God, that'd be great. And then another thing to mention during the pre-show, which we're probably going to see on NXT this week. I'm sorry, in the dark matches, not the pre-show. There was no pre-show.
Yeah, the matches they take before TakeOver.
Right, exactly. A match between Heavy Machinery and Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss was interrupted by the War Raiders. Now everybody started crapping on the name immediately.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it.
I'm going to say Tranquilo. Do you know why? Because when Finn Balor debuted, I was like, that's a stupid name. When Aleister Black, when they busted out
like
his
that
name,
one at all.
I was like, that's a terrible name. Now I love that name.
Yeah.
When everybody comes at Drake Maverick, now he's more Drake Maverick to me than Rockstar Spud.
No, I understand all that.
Well, maybe it's 50-50. But we'll get used to War Raiders.
No, I know. What's something like a synonym of machine they could have used? War Apparatus.
Well, okay, here's the problem.
War Contraption.
Here's the problem. War Gadget.
Yeah, War Gadget. That's good.
War Gadget. No, here's the thing. Machine is a much cooler word. Like, machine is a really cool word.
That's what they should have done. They should have merged War Machine and Heavy Machinery and made War Machinery.
Heavy War Machine.
Yeah, man.
Heavy Machine. So it'd be nice if they took out the war and left Machine.
Yeah.
So what's the synonym for war?
Battle.
Battle Machine.
Yeah.
Battle Machine.
Fight Machine.
Fight. Oh, that's a good one. So
War Device.
Look, man, within 6 months, we're going to be totally fine.
Oh, man, they should call them War Engine.
Oh, whoa.
That'd been good.
But is that like too much like Machine?
Well, it's not the same word.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they don't want
to use... It's closer to Machine than Raiders is.
Yeah, I know.
My problem with War Raiders is that there's two R. There's an R that ends the first word and an R
yeah,
that begins...
Yeah, it's
too many R's. War Raider.
Yeah, it's not the easiest
War Raiders.
Name to say.
But we'll get used to it.
Yeah, I guess so.
And we'll just keep on calling War Machine
until
it doesn't
feel
right.
If they're going to do the Raider route, I wish they had not done War.
Well, no, man, because if they keep on doing what they're doing, if their gimmick is they just raid other matches...
I understand that.
Other wars.
I'm saying, yeah, if they're keeping the Raider part, just ditch the war and find some other adjective to describe
Oakland.
What kind of Raiders they are. I mean, that's taken.
The Oakland Raiders.
No, can't do that. Well, I mean, they're going to move to Las Vegas soon, so I guess you could.
There you go, yeah, you can do that. Where are they from? Not the same place, obviously.
No, I don't think so.
Viking Raiders.
Mm. There's something better there.
Fight Raiders.
Anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about this NXT title match between Aleister Black and Andrade Cien Almas. This one was heavy on Zelina Vega interference. Previous matches we've seen her maybe get involved once or twice. They went to that well 5 times. It played a huge part in the ending of the match.
Yeah, it did.
Because early on, Vega hit a Hurricane Rana. I think she hit another one in the ring. Yeah, she did. At one point, she grabs the belt from the timekeeper area, hands it to Almas as if Almas is going to use it to attack Aleister Black. The ref gets in the way. She hits a Rana on Aleister.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other moments of interference. We saw Alistair kick out of a hammerlock DDT.
Yeah.
Not the draping top rope kind, but
right.
just the standard
yeah,
one.
Still, yeah, yeah. Still, that's finished a lot of people.
Oh, did you notice when he did the moonsault thing to land on his feet, he didn't do a high arc. So
yeah,
he had to put
I know.
His hands down.
Yeah, I know. I don't like... Look, here's the thing about Aleister Black. His style lends itself, I think, I'm not a wrestler, to longevity.
Yeah.
You know, he's a striker. He doesn't... That no hands freaking...
Moonsault.
Stop doing
seated
that
thing. Yeah,
I don't care. Find a new way to sit down. I don't care. It looks cool. Even use your hands. Can't you do it using your hands?
Yeah, no.
Does he have to do it hands free?
I mean, I understand it could potentially be more badass to do it hands free. I get that. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it's like
no.
he runs towards ropes, does a leap off the middle rope, and sits down. That's
yeah,
cool.
I appreciate
conceptually.
It. Super cool.
Yeah,
but you know, it's not cool being in a freaking like being a quadriplegic.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to quadriplegics out there. You can be cool too, but I'm just saying, like, you can't fight.
Yeah. So. It seems like an unnecessary risk when you see.
Right.
I mean, the reason
you
we.
You could die.
Yeah. You know, like Hayabusa, that's what happened. He did
Look,
that.
Death isn't cool. I'm sorry.
No.
Death isn't cool.
It
so,
isn't cool. But Hayabusa
that?
Did that. He
hey,
did.
Dead people, I do not apologize for offending you if you think it's cool to be dead. But guess what? You don't even know it. Yeah, so he should stop doing the moonsault.
Yeah, it just seems like an unnecessary risk.
I know. I would be like, he's super cool in the first place. If he just walked up into the ring and just slowly, yeah. if he sat, like,
he
sat down like
how
I
about,
do, just
how about,
slowly
how about
sits
this?
Down.
You know how Naito runs the ropes
yeah.
and does the tranquilo pose?
Yeah.
Not saying he has to run the ropes, but just something less risky than doing a moonsault off the second rope.
Yeah, I'm down for anything, man. Hey, that fool can come out with a lawn chair and just sit down and pop a squat on
oh,
a lawn
that'd be
chair.
Dope.
I'd be totally cool with that.
That'd be super cool.
Lawn chair is my new thing, man.
I'm yeah, you're all about that. You set me up with a lawn chair here yesterday to watch the stream. I'm like, I have the most comfy office chair in the world. I'm not sitting in this lawn chair.
Dude, I'm going to set up a streaming like for our next pay-per-view live stream. Hey, it looks like construction's going down, so it looks like we're going to have internet for it for the longest battle royal. Tranquilo?
Yeah,
okay,
Tranquilo. Let's just wait.
I know. Dudes rolled up in here. We the reason we cut just now is because some dudes rolled up in here. And they were like, can we look back in your messy back office area? And they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Well, I mean, if we have internet in the next couple of days, then yes, that,
then
I'm sure
I'll retract
they'll
that
surely
statement.
Know what they're doing. Anyways,
I give them 1 week.
Yeah, finished this match. Saw Zelina Vega on the top rope. She goes for a crossbody. Aleister gets out of the way, almost catches her, but that distraction was enough
great.
For Aleister to hit a black mass.
While he had her in his arms, he drops her. And as he, you know, obviously, because he's getting dropped by Aleister Black's foot, goes for the pin. 1, 2, 3. Have you ever seen? Look, I've not seen many Tommy End matches, but my God, the range of emotions on his face after winning that title was startling, heartwarming, and kind of distressing because I see him with one face basically, and that's
yeah
this. And every once in a while, we've seen him break out of that.
A little bit, but this
a
was
little bit.
The most distinct smile we've ever seen from him. Even this was.
He seemed overjoyed.
Yeah.
He really did. It was a beautiful moment. Aleister Black is your new NXT champion. It's fantastic. It's really fantastic.
He's going to have that belt for a long time.
I think he is, man. I think he is. I hope he does have it for a long time.
I'll give him a year. A whole year, he'll break Finn's record. So at TakeOver next year, especially, you know, if we go,
yeah.
we'll witness the crowning of a new NXT champion potentially.
Who do you think is going to take that title off him? It's one of them dudes in the North American
yeah.
title tournament. No, ladder match.
What? I think it would have to be either EC3 or Adam Cole.
I think it's going to be Ricochet.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Ricochet. Although, how cool would it be is if a year from now, Velveteen Dream was the guy to take it off him
oh,
after
that'd be
what
great.
We saw before.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Velveteen Dream builds himself up, wins the North American title. You know, beats everybody at some point, and then he faces out. He said, "Now I'm ready for you. I wasn't before."
Mm-hmm.
That could be great.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd would eat it up so
oh, yeah.
much.
Oh yeah,
that's what we want to see.
Yes. Finally, the main event. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention here. There was a brief bit backstage where Johnny Gargano had to sign a hold harmless agreement.
Yeah, man.
Triple H was holding the paperwork.
Yep.
So he's really into these hold harmless agreements.
He loves the hold harmless agreements.
Is that the actual name for him? I think I thought it was just a release of liability. That's essentially what it is.
We never looked up to see if it was actually a hold harmless agreement.
All right,
agreement.
You continue with the
It's kind of an
event.
Oddball thing just to call something. It has to be. See, look.
Yeah, look at that. It's a real thing.
Oh, look at that. We can actually print one out. We can print one out ourselves.
I just thought it'd just be a release of liability. But I guess maybe that's more specific.
Yeah.
Anyways, main event, Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano. Unsanctioned match, yet no one wore jeans, which is a disappointment.
It really isn't a disappointment.
No, it is. Well, any sort of street fight.
Okay, that's a street fight. This is unsanctioned.
You're splitting hairs there. It's kind of the same thing.
Think so?
Yeah. Anyways, Tommaso Ciampa came out first. No music.
Yeah,
nice touch.
Great. Yeah, you just a chorus of boos.
Yeah, that was his music.
Now, you were disappointed that he didn't have his camos and
yeah, man, especially since it's an unsanctioned match.
No, his gear looked...
It looked great.
Yeah.
It was a little too polished, I feel like, for his character.
Oh, no way, man.
And his trunks were a little too small. Because he had a wedgie later on.
Well, Johnny Gargano gave him a wedgie.
I understand, but it looked like even early on...
He literally grabbed his pants and exposed his buttocks.
Early on, it looked like the cut was a little tight.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
But they weren't giving at all. You know, they weren't elastic enough.
Okay, so where does he rank on your body goals chart?
Oh, pretty high.
Like, it's going to be the highest,
jacked.
Right? What's your end goal?
For the longest time was Finn Balor.
Yeah, but now it's got to be Ciampa, right?
Might be.
Yeah, I think he's got to be your end goal.
I mean, Ciampa's just a little bit thicker than Finn.
Mm-hmm. The vascularity.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
Oh, man. His freaking triceps are
I know. I got to get over what's bothering my shoulder first. I looked into it.
Start looking into steroids, man.
No.
Creatine?
Cool. Creatine's not a steroid.
Yeah, I know, but
this helps
saying,
you recover
you
faster.
Look, yeah.
No, I just do whey protein after I work out.
Listen, man, I know some
guy. I just need to eat more. I'm not eating enough calories.
Would you be? Let me just.
I'm just going to wager a guess and just say no.
Can you please keep an open mind when I tell you this right now? I can get some high-quality horse steroids for you.
Not interested.
At a very good value.
Not interested.
Best value. What if I told you is best value?
Doesn't matter.
Would you say nay?
Nay, because in the end, yeah, it might be a good bargain monetarily, but it's not best value for my body, Steve.
I know a guy named Johnny Bravo who knows a guy. Anyways.
It means you're on YouTube, man.
Yeah, Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano. How is this not another 5-star match?
Yeah.
I don't know what Meltzer's given it. I don't know if he said anything, but my God, this was a fantastic. And it's not just, I mentioned this yesterday, it's not just the story leading into it, which... totally plays into it, and
you can enjoy this match without knowing anything about the story leading into it, but knowing that story enhances the enjoyment of the match so much.
Right,
more
it really
because it
does,
calls
yeah.
back to certain moments. I mean, they use a crutch and a knee brace as symbols.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that doesn't happen very often in a wrestling match.
No, and it called back. There were physical moments that called back to their history.
Mm-hmm.
The sit down moment at the Cruiserweight Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go back and see all these moments in history that are reflected in this match, and it's a work of art, is what it is. Earlier, during the pre-show, they interviewed Drake, the referee. What does he go by, Drake?
Wirtz.
Wirtz, okay. And he said he was simply there to count the pinfall or call for the bell at submission.
It was cool. He wasn't wearing a referee outfit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just
he
a
said,
black polo.
Yeah, NXT polo.
Yeah, and gloves in case the blood happened.
Mm-hmm.
So there was one brutal spot in this match. Early on, Ciampa exposed the concrete ringside. He was channeling his inner Bill Watts.
Mm-hmm.
Ripped away the padding there.
He was like trying to do a Vader type thing.
Right. Ciampa suplexed Gargano off the announce table onto the floor.
Yeah, that was stiff.
That was stiff. That was rough. Not onto the concrete, though.
No,
it wasn't
no,
onto
just
the
floor by
yeah.
the announce table. There's a spot where Ciampa was looking under the ring for something, yelled at Drake, like, where'd you put it? Where'd you put it? And then wanders over to the ringside area on the other side of the barricade. There's a guy in a Gargano shirt holding a pair of crutches. So he steals the crutches from him.
Yeah.
And a couple of security guards help that guy away. It means obvious plant.
Right, exactly.
Still, he had to introduce the crutches somehow.
Yeah, yeah. NXT can afford to get a little cheesy,
and
it works really
it
well. It works really well, though. I liked it.
Crutches get involved later, but first, Johnny Gargano power bombs Tommaso Ciampa off the apron onto the exposed concrete.
Now, thank God this wasn't...
a sunset flip power bomb from the Ticking Time Bomb.
Yeah, because it was a sunset flip, but he couldn't get him... He couldn't accomplish the full flip thing.
Yeah.
The power bomb aspect of it. Ciampa was holding on... And instead of, you know, just letting go from the top rope, which he would have died, Gargano was letting him do the work. And so he sort of like dropped down to the second rope and then, but still, that sound
was
like a baseball bat.
Flesh hitting concrete.
Yeah, it was like a baseball
bat. And Gargano didn't put any torque on the powerbomb
whatsoever. No. He just let him fall and do the rest himself.
Yeah.
So these guys were trying their damnedest to take care of each other, but tell a hell of a match anyway.
Yeah. After that, somehow Ciampa got up. Tug of war over a crutch. Gargano gets the upper hand and starts destroying Ciampa with the crutch.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crutch spots. Gargano hits Ciampa over the head with the crutch. You get a slingshot DDT from Gargano, but Ciampa kicks out.
Yeah.
And then Gargano goes to one of the turnbuckles, exposes it,
yeah.
prepares for a lawn dart. Ciampa reverses it. Oh, that spot was great where Gargano early on hit a slingshot spear because Gargano came out on fire.
Yeah.
He was laying it to Ciampa. He goes for another slingshot spear, but Ciampa reverses it with a running knee right to the face.
Yeah, that was great.
Ow.
It was all goo.
And then Ciampa set Gargano up for one half of their finisher's DIY where he would hit the running knee. Gargano hit a super kick. So we need our Gargano in the back of the head. Johnny kicks out. And that was, the first of about four times where Gargano kicked out of what would have finished any other match.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between this and Reigns at WrestleMania is that there was a purpose to Gargano kicking out beyond just, hey, I'm a superhero, essentially, which is what it seems with Reigns. You can't beat me because I'm superhuman, whereas with Gargano, he was literally fighting for his career.
Yeah.
And that's a far more relatable motivation than I can kick out of everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A lot of back and forth. Gargano locks on Gargano escape. Ciampa claws his eyes, breaks the hold. Oh, this is a great spot where Ciampa loosens his wrist tape.
Yeah.
And then Gargano gets a hold of it. So they're like tethered together.
Yeah. Yeah.
They start trading punches. And then Ciampa kicks Gargano in his front area. It destroys a crutch over his back.
Yeah.
Ciampa hits Project Ciampa. His finisher is like the powerbomb backbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gargano kicks out. Ciampa kicks out of the super kick because Gargano did the same, kind of the inverse of what Ciampa did earlier, hitting his half of the DIY finisher, but Ciampa kicks out. And this was insane, where Ciampa hits his finisher off the second rope.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Gargano kicks out, but Ciampa starts selling his knee injury. And it was after that, he takes off his knee brace, lowers his knee pad, setting up for another running knee.
Mm-hmm.
Then Gargano grabs a knee brace, swings, hits Ciampa in his injured knee.
Yeah.
And then Gargano he breaks a crutch in half, starts to go after Ciampa with it and can't do it because Ciampa's there cowering, saying no, and his eyes all swollen shut.
Yeah, his eye is swollen shut, and there's a great sort of meme or Photoshop, whatever, of Gargano's logo, which is one eye closed. It's a happy face with one eye closed. And it mirrored the logo. I don't think that was intentional. It was just a happy accident.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you intentionally, bust your eye?
You could
act like it's just closed or whatever, but
still. No, I mean, you could put someone in the eye.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think they did that.
I don't think so. I don't think they did either, but I mean, okay. It can't happen if that's what story beat they want to do. Sort of like Lesnar busted Reigns open last night intentionally.
I mean, I guess they could have. Hey, let me punch you in the eye so it swells up. Yeah, they could have done that. I don't think it did. And so, no, this moment was fantastic because it was Gargano, like you said, it was Ciampa on the floor, just completely spent, just completely exhausted emotionally. And you could just look on his face and Ciampa has, like you said, he breaks the crutch and it looks like he's damn near, he wasn't about to swing. He was about to impale this dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, he stopped because they still have this history, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't bring myself to do it. And he starts to sit down next to him as if to be like, hey, aren't we done yet? Isn't this done? And as soon as he sits down, Ciampa goes at him.
He grabs his knee brace.
With the knee brace. That's right.
Swings at him. Gargano ducks it, puts him in the Gargano escape. And then he switches it up to an STF, grabs the knee brace, and puts it across Ciampa's face.
It was beautiful. Yeah.
And Ciampa tapped out.
Immediately, yeah. Oh, it was absolutely...
It was insane.
Absolutely beautiful. Just totally beautiful. I want to watch that match again. It's up there. What was the last match of the year contender we talked about?
Gargano versus Almas?
Yeah, Gargano-Almas, yeah. Gargano is a freaking machine. Almas is a machine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved during Almas' match. He was busting out some moves he hadn't done in NXT before.
Yeah.
That corkscrew plancha he did.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I remember him doing that in NXT yet.
Yeah.
It seemed like every match he's digging deeper into his arsenal of moves, which is great.
In response to the match, Daniel Bryan tweeted out, "I want Gargano in SmackDown Live." And Gargano said, I still have business to take care of NXT. Mm-hmm. So, man, I don't know. If Drew does come back and gives at least, you know, another 3 or 6 months, like the level
of talent NXT, they might have the deepest roster in wrestling right now.
I think they do. And the funny thing is, the thing that I love about it, and it's I've heard some buzz coming off of Supercard of Honor, but not nearly the level of NXT. And that's kind of the problem. And I don't know if it's, I mean, how can you intentionally say, hey, let's put on a better show than them? That's such an abstract thing that it's really difficult to do.
Yeah.
But I do plan on watching Supercard of Honor.
Yeah,
we are now members of the Honor Club.
We are.
But I think it kind of does a disservice. People, Ring of Honor really needs to be careful putting on one of their biggest shows of the year.
I know.
Opposite a takeover. Because with takeovers, they have such a great history of being some of the best shows in wrestling during the year.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't know why they would put it against the same day as a takeover. It's just, it's unfortunate.
Well, hold on. Where did I see that? Oh, this is interesting. According to Fightful.com, Shawn Michaels and Michael Hayes are responsible for the NXT ladder match.
Are you kidding? Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, this is from Fightful.
And P.S. Michael Hayes. Wow.
Yeah, I got help from both Shawn Michaels and Michael Hayes in producing the match.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The wrestlers involved were heavily influential in pitching spots that would take place.
Great. That's how it should be done.
That's
man.
How producers should not dictate the talent, how
that's
a match
how
to
it
put
should
together.
Be done.
They should work with them to maximize the story in the ring.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That is really cool. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. Do you want to do talk about some news leading into Mania today? Or?
Sure.
Okay, I guess the major one is came courtesy of Pro Wrestling Sheet. They reported this morning that there was, quote, they have confirmed with multiple sources that Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon got into a real-life verbal altercation after WrestleMania 34. They continue that the incident seemed to conclude with Brock throwing the Universal title. And various reports said it was either at Vince or at a wall.
Ooh.
And then he left.
Yeah.
And Pro Wrestling Sheet had no details as to why Lesnar was angry following the Universal title match at Mania, but adds, quote, Lesnar was livid when he returned to the backstage gorilla position, went off on the WWE chairman, who was not happy about it. I wonder if he was, this is speculation, if Brock was upset about the reception of the match, the crowd just crapping all over it. I don't know if he would care, but I'm just trying to think why he would come backstage angry.
Did you mention the bit, I think Ryan sat in Pro Wrestling Sheet.
Well, I mean, the last bit on the Pro Wrestling Sheet thing, say, quote, that we're told there's a belief that Brock may have gone off script a little bit near the end of the match, but we've been unable to confirm if this is true.
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
I don't know.
It seemed like a very...
It could have been like three-line script.
Yeah, I know.
F5 spear, Superman punch, F5 spear. I mean, it seemed pretty basic. Yeah.
Open up reins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. And then, I don't know. I don't care about that. I mean, it's so annoying.
I know.
Why is he still champion?
I know. Fightful.com added a little bit to the story saying, quote, Fightful's Sean Ross Sapp was told by some...
Oh, yeah, this bit.
Some people backstage, they thought the altercation was part of a WWE documentary. And regarding whether Lesnar and McMahon were playing roles, Sapp was told it would have been, quote, the acting job of a lifetime.
So it seemed like it was real.
A shoot.
Yeah.
Not a work. Because when I read the Pro Wrestling Sheet story, I was like, this is 50-50, a work in anticipation of Raw tonight to further the idea that Brock doesn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. That'll be interesting. It's Raw after Mania.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you want to go do a brief Raw preview?
Yeah, I'll do a Raw preview.
Such as it exists on WWE.com. The first item on here, the Beast came marching in. He's still champ. And then it kind of just says, you know, what new challenges await Brock, and what does Reigns do next? Next, Seth Rollins, he's Intercontinental Champion.
Yes, he is.
They allude to the fact that maybe Finn Balor isn't quite done with the Kingslayer.
I should hope not.
So maybe the main event tonight will be Seth versus Finn for the Intercontinental title.
Did we find out how bad this busted the betting odds?
No. The last betting odds I saw didn't have all the matches listed on it, but the ones they did, I would have like destroyed in predictions.
Oh, really? That's funny.
And I tanked hardcore.
Yeah.
I did awfully.
That's hilarious.
But I didn't see like the final locked in ones.
Yeah.
But I think the ones I saw, it was like Nakamura was favored.
Yeah, yeah.
But otherwise,
yeah, yeah.
It was pretty much.
Nakamura was favored. Finn Balor, I think, yeah. was favored.
Yeah. Just barely, though.
Yeah.
Looks like they're going to continue the story of Nia as champ. And then Braun, is he really going to defend the Raw tag team titles with a kid named Nicholas?
That's a great title. That's like verbatim. That's hilarious. Nicholas.
Yeah, interesting to see how that all plays out. And then, of course, Ronda will be on Raw tonight.
Hey, that crowd is going to show her all sorts of respect.
Oh, yeah.
That crowd, she will have them in the palm of her hand.
Oh, yes.
Man, I still can't get over how much she killed it. That's so fantastic.
Oh, man, that was great.
I know. It was really great. It makes, yeah, that's awesome. Anyways, that's it for the show. Hilton, do we have any music?
Still no music, Hilton? Really?
Dude, you got to load up the...
Man, if you can't do this,
dude,
we're going to...
This guy, didn't he win an Emmy?
Apparently.
He literally won an Emmy
for
television production, and he doesn't know how to load up music on the show. Now we moved offices.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez. Come on! If I had my glasses, I'd blow it up. Hilton. Anyways.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.